take this time to welcome every single one of you, because if you could just listen to me, it takes a miracle for you to be sitting here. The more and more I realize that. Okay, especially this day and age, people, entire Western society, we kind of laugh at God and the Bible. I mean, that's just what's happening. And there are young men and women willing to be here in the church, right? Worshiping. That is an amazing grace. And I really mean that. And I don't take anything for granted. Okay? And today, I try to do that every Sunday, but with all of my heart, I want to deliver this message, all of my heart. And I really mean it. So if you would just give your ears, okay, for next 30 minutes or so. And the title of the message for today is, Lord Opened Her Heart. Could you look at the title? Okay, Lord, God opened her heart. Okay, there are two constituents. I continue to explain this, right? In Christianity, that's God and you, God and men. Okay, and if you look at this title for a moment and kind of stare at it, there are two constituents, Lord and then her, Lydia. In this case, it's Lydia from Acts chapter 16. And can I just remind you, he's the one who's doing the opening. You don't open his heart. He's the one who's opening your heart. Christianity is always from God to men first. Otherwise, we can't do anything, okay? Because we are hostile. We're born with hostility toward him, believe it or not, okay? And today I want to kind of like really focus on this one phrase, God opened your heart. Can I ask you, has he opened your eyes? Would you say? We just sang Light of the World. You step down into darkness and open my eyes, which means we are in darkness. And I'm just asking you, look at me, please. Has God opened your eyes? Would you say? And I really mean it. I went to Stony Brook University, undergraduate, and I was very adventurous person, okay? I had this old car, Dongcha, right? Really old car. And I used to love driving at night. And if you go to Stony Brook University, there is a highway right next to it, okay, 97 North, okay? But there is not much light. And I used to love driving in darkness, and sometimes with my friends sitting next to me, I used to shut off the headlight. And it thrills me, right? You go like 20 miles an hour, and then I just step on my gas and go like 50 miles an hour for like, I don't know, I don't even know, 2 seconds. You get too scared to run more than 2 seconds in complete darkness going 50 miles an hour. Right, can you imagine that? I used to do that. And then this fear flooding into my heart. Oh! And then it just, I have to take my foot off of the gas. You know, fear is a good thing, by the way. Fear is a God-given thing. You're supposed to fear, right? You stand in front of a cliff and there is you're going to fall, let's say, 1,000 feet and you don't feel fear. Can you imagine that? You're supposed to fear that so you don't approach the danger, right? And when your eyes are closed, right, and you're running 50 miles an hour, you're supposed to feel fear. And my question to you is, do you fear? Okay, do you fear? Because so many people are running 50 miles an hour, or even 70 miles an hour, right now, and in complete darkness. And I really mean it. Complete darkness. You're heading straight to God knows what. You're taking a big chance and you don't even fear it, right? And that's the reality. And I want to introduce a verse as we continue to talk about, can we trust the Bible? Okay, people question this. For like 1500 years, Western society always had skeptics and someone who challenges the Bible. And they weren't very successful, by the way. You know that, right? And I know people do that now. As if we are much smarter than people have gone by for the last 2,000 years. And I ask you to really look into this. If you're going to challenge this, really look into this at least. Okay? And I'm planning to share on this topic of authority or the reliability of the scripture in 2 weeks on Sunday pulpit. Not in material wise, but in my heart I want to pray for it, because I know the enemy and devil will be doing everything possible to fight that. So if you would just pray with me. But here is one more verse, as I shared last week, that should really trigger your mind. If you are a thinking person, right? You're a mindless person like me, you know, when I was in college and you're driving 70 miles an hour in darkness and you don't fear anything, I can't do much for you. But here's a verse that perhaps it'll trigger your mind, okay? If you are a skeptic and kind of like seeking person. Bible says in Acts chapter 4, salvation, we talked about salvation, two constituents, God and you. And God doesn't need salvation. Do you need salvation? Perhaps, right? Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved. Okay, I ask you to take a look at this. And please, I'm pleading you to open your eyes and look at this. Okay, pleading you. Because you must. Okay, would you take a look at this? There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved. Okay, what do you think? Okay, I know most of you are, you know, in high school, there are some junior high school students, and I really praise God for them. But this is not that difficult to comprehend, right? Does this sound very compromising to you? Does this sound very incompetent to you? Okay, so something you must deal with. Either this is stupid, or you must deal with it, don't you think? Either this is completely garbage. Well, some people try to say that, especially the enemy try to say that. But you don't want to fall into the category, and you listen to that, and you're kind of in that skeptic stage, but you don't even look into this. That's like driving 90 miles an hour in complete darkness, don't you think? Right? Salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And you must be saved. Okay? And, you know, I have a privilege of standing here, okay, and speak on behalf of living God. That's what I believe, what I'm called to do. Not to please your ears, right? But to really deliver what is in his heart. And can I just tell you what is in his heart? You must be saved. You must be saved. You must be saved. Okay? Today's passage, Acts chapter 16. I love this chapter. This is such an action-packed chapter. An amazing chapter. If you would just stay with me, okay? If you like movies like Braveheart, this is an amazing chapter like Braveheart. Okay, this is Paul and Silas, okay, beginning his second missionary journey. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. I'll show you the map in a second. Having been prohibited by the Holy Spirit, what, to sin? No, prohibited by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God. Can you even believe this? What is going on? Right? In Asia. Then when they had come up to Mysia, they went up a little bit north, and they attempt to go to Bithynia, which is east. But the Spirit of Jesus, this time Holy Spirit, this time Spirit of Jesus, did not allow them. Can you believe this? Spirit did not allow them, prohibited them, forbid them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Cytical Troas. These are actual cities, historical cities. And Bible is very historical, right? Very historical. Contrary to some of you maybe thinking it's all myth. No. No. You better look into this kind of stuff. It's very historical. And geographical. And a vision appeared to Paul that night in the city of Troas. A man from Macedonia, where's that? Greece, right? Northern Greece, was standing there urging him to saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When Paul had that vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, for those of you who are not familiar with this chapter, this is a major transitioning chapter, okay? I introduced one major transitioning chapter in Acts chapter 11, when the gospel and Christianity was only for the Jews. Now, after chapter 11, it went to all the rest of the world. Huge transition. Okay, now this is another huge transition, maybe perhaps even unthinkable to the people. You know why? Because Holy Spirit God and the Spirit of Jesus is leading this missionary team to Europe, a land they never even thought about. Okay? Okay. Let me orient you. This is Paul's second missionary journey, Mediterranean Sea. And this is Israel right here, and Damascus, and Syria, current Syria, okay, geographical. And this is Turkey, okay, present Turkey. And this is Greece, and there is Macedonia, and this is Achaia, and there is Corinth and Athens, current cities, okay. So this is what happened. They started the whole second missionary journey from Antioch. Always start from Antioch, very important city. They went to Derbe, Lystra, Antioch, and they try to go to Galatia and Bithynia this way. The Holy Spirit does not allow them to preach in Asia and does not allow them to forbid them to go to east. So they go to Troas, right? What do? They cross the sea. There, Paul had a vision. So they landed in Europe for the first time. Okay? Very, very, very important time in history. One more thing I want to just introduce that's so significant here. The person who wrote Book of Acts is Luke. He was a doctor. Okay? Not that that is important. He's a doctor. He's the same person who wrote Gospel of Luke and Book of Acts. If you add the chapters and the volume, sheer volume of Luke and Acts, it adds more than all the Pauline writings. So he wrote a lot. Very important person to know. Okay? And here is the personal pronoun I ask you to take a look. They. Right? They. And then transition take place. 10, in verse 10. But when Paul had the vision, immediately we sought to go unto Macedonia. Why is that important? That's very important linguistically as well as historically, because we is first person plural personal pronoun, which means Luke is added to that team. Okay? Paul, Silas, and then there's Timothy and Luke. I call that a team. Okay? That's a great team. Can you think with me? You know, a lot of times Lord's work is not a whole bunch of people, but really a team. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. That's a good team, don't you think? Let's pray for that kind of team. Okay? So that's what's happening here. Okay? So what happened? They sailed from Troas to Neapolis, which is Greece, from there to a city called Philippi. Philippian gospel, right? That's in Greece, which is the leading city of district of Macedonia. In other words, it's a huge city, just like New York. Have you ever noticed that a lot of action takes place in the book of Acts in the cities? Why is that significant? Because we're living in a city. City is very important, right? The whole world is gathered here, right? Very important. Roman colony. And we remain in the city someday, and something very, very divine happens, okay? It zooms in, okay? All of a sudden, story is about big picture, and then Bible zooms in to one person, okay? One person. Let's look at the story. It was Lord's Day, Sabbath day. We went outside to the gate of Riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, sort of like a church, like this. Can you picture this? Place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to women, plural, who had come together. But one out of the plural women who heard us was a woman named Lydia. Who's Lydia? Who in the world is she? We don't even know who she is. But isn't it interesting? History zooms in, and Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, and God kind of leading, directing in this A team because of one person. That's what I see. And many were listening, but one person really heard. Are you listening? Okay. That one who heard was a woman named Lydia. What do we know about him? She's from the city of Thyatira. Where is that? Asia. Isn't that the place where they came, Paul and Silas came from? Yes, exactly. Spirit stops them to preaching the word in Asia, send them to Europe, and there so that they could meet a woman from Asia. How do you like that? Where are you from? What do you mean where you're from? I'm from New York. I'm from, Brooklyn. I'm from Chicago. Anybody from Chicago? Okay. I'm from Korea. Some of you are from Korea. I'm from China. I'm from whatever, right? Why are you sitting here? How'd you end up sitting here? Does that matter? I hope you're listening, right? What else do we know about him? She's from the city of Thyatira, from Asia, Turkey. Now living in Philippi, like New York City. What does she do? A seller of purple good. Now, what does that mean? Purple good is the royal clothing. Very expensive, high-end clothing businesswoman. Louis Vuitton. Okay. Do you know Louis Vuitton? Louis Vuitton, yeah. She was a businesswoman, and she was a worshiper of God. What do we know? She's from Asia. She's a businesswoman, and she was a worshiper. And zooming in on one person. Many were listening, but one person. Is that okay? It's okay with the Bible, okay? What happened? The Lord opened Lydia's heart. Okay, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. What happens when your heart is open? It says to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Happened to be Paul? Okay. Do you pay attention to what I'm saying? Many are listening, but one ear out, one ear in, one ear out. It really doesn't affect you. Right? But there's going to be Lydia. There's going to be Lydia. We go to Lola Ministry today, and we're expecting about 70 people. I don't distinguish between members and servants anymore. We all need, right? Don't you think? Including myself and children, about 70 people. There's going to be Lydia. And there's going to be that slave girl in Acts chapter 16. And there's going to be that jailer of Philippian jail. I believe God is not dumb. God leads and God works and God fulfills. contrary to what you want to think. A lot of times we don't think. Isn't that the case? Do you think about trustworthiness of the scripture? Did you ever look into it? I challenge you to look into it. I really do. I challenge you to look into it. Don't be a stupid saying, not look into it and say, I can't believe in the Bible. That's dumb, I think. If it involves your eternity, I don't think you should say, I don't look into this and I don't believe it. That's stupid, don't you think? I challenge you, look into it. See if you could prove. See if you could prove. And I'm saying this with a father's heart. Really mean it. We spend hours in meaningless things. You know, I don't know how many of you are into games. Right? Any, like, free moment, you have to spend your mind in games, which takes no mind. And you know, you don't want to look into whether scripture is something to worth paying attention to. And a lot of times, one of the questions I ask you, people who say, I can't believe in the Bible, have you ever read it? I think that's a fair question, no? Have you ever read it? I think that's a fair question. If you read it and you still think this is stupid, then okay, you have a case. But if you never read it, and if you continue to say, I can't believe this, I can't believe that, then that's, you need to do better than that, I think. You got to do better than that, right? Lord, open their heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And then what happened? She was baptized. You know, baptism for them at the time of the Bible meant they put their life on the line. A lot of Christians this day and age, Christianity is not that at all. Is that what you think? Christianity, you put your life on the line? Because this is during the Roman Empire, right? You're supposed to worship the emperor. Emperor is the Lord. Unless you agree to that, you will be persecuted or put to death. And a lot of people were. So that means baptism means you identify and you unite with the Christians. And meaning, I'm willing to put my life on the line. Is that you? When Lord opens your eyes, you would, right? You would. Okay. And she, Lydia, please stay with us. Okay. If you judge me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Okay. I want to just, I got to read this. Okay. And then the next story is Paul and Silas heals one slave woman. What nationality? Do you know? We don't know. I'm guessing because it's a large city during the Roman Empire, it could be a gypsy. She could be an Asian. She could be an European. She could be anything. What about Lydia? Lydia is clearly from Thyatira, probably Asian. Okay? And then the third person we're going to look at is the jailer, if you know the story. What about his nationality? I'm guessing he's a Roman soldier, probably an Italian, European. So three families we're looking at. One family is Lydia, Asian. Second family, don't know. Perhaps gypsy, perhaps Asian, perhaps European, we don't know. But she was a slave girl who with divination, which means she has a lot of spiritual problem. And we have a lot of problem people with spiritual problem in this day and age. We know that. And then the third family is the Italian jailer, so European. Asian, European, and question mark, okay? So they healed this slave woman. Because of that, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And famous story of Paul and Silas at midnight, although they were beaten and in prison, locked up, they pray and began to praise God. See what happens. Action-packed, okay? Midnight. Paul and Silas was praying and singing. That's so dumb. They were just beat up like crazy, beat up by Roman soldiers, by mobs. And then they were praying and singing. What happened? Hymns. We sang hymn today. Hymns to God. And prisoners were listening to them. Could you imagine that? Okay. Imagine you guys are the prisoners. and Paul and Silas singing, and you guys are listening. Let's see what happened. Okay? And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Can you imagine that? Foundation of the church shaken. Okay? And the doors were open. All the doors open. If you read NIV, prison doors are flew open. Okay? Doors are flew open, foundation shaken, as they were praying and praising. What else happened? Everyone's shackles were unfastened. I love this picture. I love this picture. Christians, when we pray and praise, you know what's going to happen? Whatever is binding your family's foundation will be shaken. And doors will be fly open. And the shackles will be loosed. I don't know whether you believe that. I believe it. This generation, we need to pray for this generation. Foundation needs to be shaken. Unless you're in Christ, Bible says you are shackled. Shackled. Look at you. There's no joy in your heart. Right? When the jailer woke up and saw the prison door open, he drew sword and he was about to kill himself. Why? Because he didn't carry out the duty of a soldier. And according to the Roman law, you will be killed anyway. Right? So he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself." That's exactly what we Christians need to tell the world. Don't harm yourself. We are here. We are all here. And the jailers called for lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Do you ask that question? Or are you just running 50, 60, 70 miles an hour in darkness? You're running for your career, you're running for your graduate school, you're running for your marriage, you're running for your relationship, but do you see? I'm asking you, really asking you. You go to Hagwon, you do this, you date and you work. But do you see it? Do you see where you're going? I really mean it. You know, I don't, these days, when I was younger, still I was kind of like adventurous, but now I don't really care. I still ask you. Come to Lola, close your store, come. I don't hesitate to say, quit your job and come. I gotta work. Quit your job and come. Your life is on the line. Eternity's in the line, no? And that's how I see it. That's how I see it. That's why I could be a little bit too pushy at times. Forgive me. What must I do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas said, "Believe in the Lord. You'll be saved." And this is the only place to say that, you and your household. Can I ask you, is your household saved? Does it matter to you? I really want to ask you, is your household saved? Is your brother saved? You know, Brian and his only older brother. I have only one older, not older, younger brother. He acts like an older brother, but he's my younger brother. Yeah. One brother. My mom. My dad. My dad is with the Lord for last 27 years ago. He was at my age when he passed away, 54. And then I have my three children. I still pray for their salvation and walk in grace every single day. Nothing matters to me. That's what I pray for. Until Christ is formed and evident in my children's life, that's what I gotta pray for. Right? They spoke the word to him and all who were in the house, and he was baptized. Are you ready to be baptized? Put your life on the line? Come on. Oh, If I do that, I gotta lose, give up this job. Precisely. If I do that, I have to give up this relationship. Yes! Because that's what's killing you. Don't you know? He was baptized at once, and he and all his family. How about your family? I want to just drill this into you. Do you even care about your family? Who is your family? Do you have a family? Of course. And he brought them into the house, the jailer's house, set food before them, and rejoiced along with the entire household and that had believed in God. Okay, I got to go quickly. Just a few thoughts, okay? A great story, a major transition, okay? From Jews to Jews, Jews to the whole rest of the world, now from Asia all the way to Europe now. Major transition. And we saw in verse 10, the personal pronoun changes. Please listen to me, okay? Personal pronoun changes from they to we. In other words, the rest of the story is our story. Can I ask you, is this our story? Are you part of our story? I want to ask you. One of the frustrations of the church is that you don't want to be part of this story. You do your own story, our story. Right? I just want to ask you this question. Who's we? Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Paul was the leader, let's say. Okay. Silas, what about, who was Silas? He's from Jerusalem, and he was the co-laborer, faithful co-laborer. What about Timothy? Who was Timothy? We skipped that. Timothy is son and disciple of Paul. Beautiful, isn't it? Christianity. What about Luke? Who was Luke? A doctor, and he's the author, and he joined this venture. Are you part of this we team, a team? I really, really want to ask you. Then what are you? And called by God. What we see here is Holy Spirit prohibited, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow, and God called them for a purpose, and they concluded that. We see Holy Spirit, Jesus, and we see God. That's pretty good, right? Is Holy Spirit God? Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you conclude that God is leading this church? God is not stupid. He's leading history. Where is he leading us? Where is our next story? That's something that I want to ask you, okay? The second thing I want to think about is, who is them to preach the word to them? And that was European, Macedonians. And today is zoomed into three families. See if you can identify with any of the families. Lydia, purple, good, businesswoman, immigrant from Asia, probably well-off, Asian. And then the slave girl. We don't know what her ethnicity is, but she is, you know, suffering with divination, probably spiritual problem, perhaps even mental problem, perhaps gypsy, perhaps Asian, perhaps Italian, I don't know. And then the third family is the jailer, probably the white family, Roman soldier, and European. Where do you identify yourself? Okay. What I see is big picture. God always zooms into individuals and families. I love it, brothers and sisters. His eyes is upon you. Upon you. You can't just hang outside in the periphery as if you are not existing, because this is not, my Caucasian friend used to say, this is not a TV. Okay, you're not watching a TV. It's our story. Okay? Secondly, Holy Spirit, the role of Holy Spirit in Paul and Silas' story, the A-team, is pretty obvious here. Okay? Forbidden by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit did not allow them to go, and they come to a conclusion. God's calling upon us is to preach the gospel to them. Why are you here in New York? Why did you graduate? Why are we a church? Could that be God's calling of this church is preaching to them? Okay. If it is, who is them? That's a big question. It's pretty clear in my heart. Koreans? Your parents? Your friends? Yes, yes, yes. Is that it? I think it's much bigger than that. Why New York then? Do you hang out with Koreans all the time? Do you hang out with Asians all the time? Do you work with Asians all the time? Do you spend most of your time with Asians and Koreans? No, 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 no. Then does that make sense to you? You live and you do church with Asians. Does that make sense to you? It begins to make no sense to me. God is leading, forbidding, prohibiting, leading, giving us a vision, clearly leading towards one, some direction. And I really ask you to seek that direction with me. I want us to think about your family for now, okay? Is your family need salvation? Wake up, people. God wants to save you and your family. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But many of you are struggling with, what is the truth? Bible is not reliable. But did you look into it? I challenge you to look into it. If you want to be so adamant and confident about that, at least look into it. At least read it, please, so that you will be sensible. Please. And I'm not mocking you. I'm sharing this with the Father's heart. If you're going to say this is not reliable, this doesn't make sense, Bible is bad, at least look into it. At least read it. Okay? We see God zooming in on one person. Many listened, like right now. But are you listening? Lydia was listening. One person was listening. Are you Lydia? How many of you want to be Lydia? I don't know why, you know, you... Do you want to be Lydia? Not yet, right? Not yet. I have a life to live. Do you want to be Lydia? Do you want your family to be saved? Lord has to open your heart. Look up here, please. Look up here. Only 30 minutes a week, you have an opportunity. God gathers his church and prayerfully sharing the word from his heart, and you're not even looking at me. Come on, people. Do you want to be Lydia, or you want to continue to live in that sin? Right? Sin blinds you. You're driving 80 miles an hour, and you're in complete darkness. That's pretty dangerous. And the problem is we don't even sense we are in danger. You need that fear, right? Fear is a God-given thing. Only sovereign grace could open the eyes. The entire A-team moved to Macedonia and came to Philippi and came to that place of worship. And many listened, but only she heard it, right? And Lord then opened our heart. What happens when God opens your heart? She begins to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. That's always the case. That's always the case. If you are sitting right now thinking, I can't wait until the service is over, probably not, that's not happening. But you know, I still don't give up on you, because God could continue to speak to you. Really mean it. Okay? Only by sovereign grace. Lastly, you know, Acts chapter 16 is a very special chapter. I love this chapter. And because of the slave girl, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And because they were thrown into prison, they met jailer. Okay? And this is not an evangelistic conventional setting. It's not. But there they prayed and they praised God. And you know what happened? Foundation is shaken. Doors fly open and shackles removed. And I really thought about when we believers do that, the foundation of your family, shackles of your parents and your brothers can be removed. I really see that. I think that's what the Lord is speaking to us. Shackles be removed. The door could fly open. And your foundation need to be shaken. Your foundation is, I gotta succeed. I gotta succeed in this world. In what expense? That's the foundation I'm challenging you. In what expense? You go to great college, you do well, you get a great job, you make great salary. But where are you heading toward to? Are you running? Do you see? Has God opened your eyes? Okay. I want to close on an encouraging note. If you are praying for your family, this is the only place the Bible says, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. You and your household. Okay? You and your household. Can you think just for a moment about your household? My dad passed away, but my mom. Every day I pray for her, pray that she will finish well. She is a godly woman, but she's aged. She's 80 years old. Every day I pray for her. Lord, keep her. She could slip and fracture and, you know, all these things. Every day I pray for her. Lord, would you help her to finish well? I pray for my wife. Lord, give her real love and hunger for you. No, nothing else. I pray for my son, Tim, Dan, and Elizabeth. I pray for them. Success, no. Lord will take care of them. But I care about their love for the Lord until Christ is clearly forming them. Until Christ is clearly forming them. Believe in the Lord. You'll be saved. You and your household. John MacArthur, okay? You and I believe the gospel not because we are wiser and more righteous than anyone. We're not more righteous than Muslims. We're not. A lot of times they're more, you know, they do better things than us, right? We're not because wiser or more righteous than anyone, but because God graciously intervened, open our hearts to heed his word and believe. Okay. When God opens your eyes, you pay attention. Not for me. It's God's gracious intervention. He doesn't need to do that to you. He doesn't need to. If he repays you and I according to what we deserve, we don't exist. But he loves you. And intervening in your life, opening your heart. Pray for that. Right? Pray for that. Or else you're just running 60, 70 miles an hour in complete darkness. Let's pray.